All right, we'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for September 12th, 2023 at 1902. If all would rise for the pledge. Welcome, everyone. We'll jump right into public comments. So if there's anybody who's not on the agenda that would like to get your 2 minutes of fame, come up to the hot seat. Okay, seeing we have no takers, we'll move on then to the agenda review. Council, I look for a motion to approve the agenda as written, minus number 7. On the agenda. I don't know if there's any other changes that need to be made.
Just one thing, Mayor, is the approval of payment of 2023 claims for September should be $59,960.60.
And I look for a motion to approve the agenda with those two amendments to it.
Councilman Tracy, make a motion to approve the amenda or approve the agenda as amended.
Councilman Poplar, second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Fulton, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Just one thing on the consent. I have time off on there. I need to take a day off this month. I don't know when it is yet for my daughter to do a school walkthrough. So I will coordinate that with you by email on that day, and I'll make sure Jen has the city covered.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Councilman Poplar, second it.
Moved seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzin, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Johnny, you the representative of the HFD tonight, or?
Yes, so.
Some of these things we probably can iron through.
So I guess I don't know how Stephen really does it, but approving firefighter Sam Newbloom.
Do we have any reason not to? Make a motion then to approve firefighter Sam Newbloom.
Make a motion to approve firefighter Sam Newbloom.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve firefighter Sam Newbloom. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzin, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Congratulations to Sam. Officer selection, is this something down the road, or you guys have a new chief 3 year?
Or have you guys talked?
So, yes. Steve Buckentine has, ever since then, there hasn't been any movement. So we might just table that. I'm
okay,
thinking
we can,
because our last meeting was a couple weeks ago and there's no new news. And then firefighter recruitment options. No idea.
I noticed I've seen a lot of the signs out there now.
Yeah, we just put those up last night. Yeah.
So I don't really know what he was going to touch base on, if he was going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, if he had ideas for options or just looking for options. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to Stephen tonight. Yeah. So
I think we'll table that too.
Next week or next month.
Cool.
Well, you're off easy there.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on then. Central Trap.
Thank you, City Council, for allowing us the time. Jerry Pommen from Central Trap team. Last year we applied for an exempt for our gun bingo and raffle. It was a great success. We utilized your guys' hall, funded and helped out the kids, dropped down the price. Oh, I think they paid probably 40 cents on the dollar in order to shoot trap. And we were sitting around that 80 kids shooting in spring. We got 50 kids shooting in fall. It was a great fundraiser on thanks to you guys' behalf. So I'm looking for approval to get the LG 220 application for the exempt permit signed and documented today and continue on with, oh, what date is it?
December 9th.
Thank you.
Council, any questions?
None here.
I don't have any.
And also, I would say, I suppose, approving, you know, the use of the hall.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yep. For the use of the hall as well.
Yeah.
At no charge.
Yeah. Well, Council, if there's not any other discussion, I look for a motion to approve the gaming permits and the free use of the hall for December 9th for the Central Track.
Make a motion to approve their gaming permit and the free use of the hall for December 9th for the Central Trap team.
Second it.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes.
Thank you guys very much for your support. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Move on to Scott.
Good evening, everybody. Haven't been here in a while, quite a while, as I recall. I'm here for two things, kind of. We should probably talk about Rear Road Street, the properties for sale. Jeremy can help me with the address when he gets done signing stuff. 471.
Is that apartment?
It's the single family home that was in a apartment. Yeah. So the guy that bought it 8 years ago or whenever he picked it up, decided he didn't want to get permits and then finally got permits and decided he didn't want to follow the rules for the permits and didn't want to put up a fire separation between the store below and the apartments above. And so we told him he had to, and he said, I'm not gonna, and he did the work anyway. And so we ended up having to force him to make it a single family home with no tenants up above because there was insufficient fire separation. If there's a fire downstairs, they could have been trapped and that would have been bad. So that's the condition he lived in it for the last 5 years. And now it's for sale. And the individual who is buying it or wants to buy it called me and said, hey, I want to put people back upstairs. What do I have to do? And he's going to have to tear off everything that was done in the ceiling and sort of the pseudo attic above his space, but below the ceiling above, and put a fire separation there if he wants to do that. And that's kind of the information that I gave him. But I just wanted to make you aware of that because it came up just in the last couple of weeks. We haven't had a lot of exciting things going on in Hamburg lately. So that's the only building code thing going on besides this deck. And so we're going to talk about diamond piers. That's the other thing. And I want to start off by saying I'm not offended by what you did. I don't want you to, take that way at all, because I don't think you were informed. And the fact you weren't informed was my fault, not anybody else's. Jeremy sent me an email a couple weeks before your meeting, maybe 3 weeks before your meeting, a couple months ago, and said, hey, what's your take on diamond piers or something like that? And I wrote back, in what context or why are you asking? And he wrote back a response, which was someone wants to use them and what's the deal? And I missed that second email. And I kind of wondered, I wonder what that thing with Jeremy and the diamond piers is all about. And the next thing I knew is you guys had approved the use of diamond piers in Hamburg. So I assume that was just sort of a kind of a resolution or, it's not like you changed your ordinances or anything, right? It was just a discussion point that said, I guess we have to approve it, so we'll approve it and we're good. So I want to now kind of see if we can reel that back a little bit and have a conversation about why it is the way it is and what we want to do going forward. So I have to get out my reading glasses tonight for this one. There are a couple things that we should talk about, I guess. One of them is that the code talks about the idea that this is a prescriptive document. So if you want to build a footing, it's going to be the way the pictures show or the way the code describes it, based on the load and all that other stuff, or you kind of have to use engineering. That's really the way the code works. So if you're going to build a wall, it's got to have studs every 16 or 24 inches. And if they're 24 inches on center, they might have to be 2x6s, or you might have to use extra sheathing or do whatever in order to make the wall strong enough to withstand wind and do all that stuff. And if you want to put studs at 32 inches on center or some crazy thing like that, that isn't in the code. And all we can say is it has to be designed in accordance with engineering, accepted engineering practice. And that's part of the argument that Diamond Pier Pin Foundations would make, is that they've gone through the engineering and determined the load bearing capacity of a diamond pier. And for those of you who don't know, the diamond pier is kind of a cone shaped concrete diamond, for lack of a better term, that has two sets of embedded sleeves that come in from either side in all four directions. And you take a rod that might be up to 48 or 60 inches long and put a little driving point on the end of it and impact it in all four directions. So you end up with this cone with four rods that go down in each of the four directions. And if we were in Mississippi or, you know, someplace down south where they don't have frost issues, I'd be all over it. It's a very creative way to build a deck without having to, you don't have to wait for concrete to set. And there are all kinds of advantages to it. But and it's because the underside, you know, it's a round cylinder, right? So we've got a tube that's maybe an inch and a quarter around. It's a little bit smaller than this, but it's bearing on this entire surface all the way down as deep as it gets driven. So that if it's a 60 inch long, you probably got 50 inches that's sticking out the bottom. At the angle that it's at, it's still probably not at frost depth, and that's where my reservations come in. But I don't have any question about the bearing capacity of a diamond pier. That's not the issue at all. It is, that's just science, and someone's done the science, and I accept that. The problem is that we live in an environment or a climate where frost susceptible soils are everywhere, and I don't believe that they meet the requirements of the code, which are that footing should be bearing on soil that is at or below frost depth. And in Minnesota, in the southern half of the state, that's at 42 inches. And diamond piers don't bear at all on soils below frost depth. They bear on the soil completely from the surface down to that whatever depth they get driven to. And so for that reason, I've kind of said no. And it's been my position for 14 years. Pin Foundations has had people out at our office trying to cajole me into allowing them. And I've seen trouble. I've seen trouble with conventional piers, probably weren't done right. You know, bad concrete mix, too much water, whatever those issues are, they happen. But I've also seen problems with diamond piers, and I'm not comfortable with the frost science that says that that's okay. So the code talks about the idea, I'll hold it up. You can see it. It's just some diagrams of their foundations for decks. And the language says, for footings, decks shall be supported on concrete footings or other approved structural system designed to accommodate all loads in accordance with 301 and theoretically transfer them to the soils. Deck footing shall be sized to carry the imposed load from the footings and be sized, of the deck structure to the ground as shown in 507.3. The footing depth shall be in accordance with 403.1.4. So that's another reason why we don't have a footing depth that's 42 inches. If we go back to 403.1.4, which was, I had a marker there and then I pulled it out. This is the instructions from the code that says you go to 42 inches, or you use shallow protected frost footings, or you get an engineer, or you can fill up all the soil underneath. Like if you're going to build a slab on grade house, you could build it with just a 12-inch deep footing if you fill all the earth underneath to at least 42 inches with sand or gravel, because now we don't have frost-susceptible soils in that frost zone. That's the theory. So those are the options. And because of those two things, I've made the determination that diamond piers are not an equivalent to a traditional concrete pier or other engineered pier types like a helical pier, where they drive a auger into the ground and leave it there. And based on the torque, the number of kips of torque, that determines the bearing strength of that system. and it's all very scientific, and they just say, oh, in order to withstand a 3,500 pound load that we've got on that corner of the deck, we drive it to 14 kips. And if they drive it to 19 kips, it's going to be that much better. And there's no sort of debate about that. And they're always below frost depth, so that's never an issue. So a gentleman applies for a permit to build his deck. And it's, I'm not going to complain about it, but it's not, it's just a kind of a quick little drawing. I'm going to build a deck. That's okay. We ask for a supplemental worksheet that tells us how they're going to do it. And he provides, you know, it's going to be 2x10 joists, and I'm going to use 2x12 beams and whatever. If we have this information in a sketch, we're usually in pretty good shape. And he wrote down diamond piers up in this top line here, a depth 4 feet. And again, they don't go to 4 feet. They're driven at an angle, and I haven't done the math on it, but they're not bearing on soils below frost depth. So in our plan review, we crossed that out and wrote diamond piers are not approved for use in Hamburg. And it's not just Hamburg, it's every jurisdiction where I'm the building official. And then submitted this back to the city, and the city issued the building permit. And either one of two or three things happened. He'd already done it, or he didn't read the documents, or he saw the documents and didn't do it that way anyway. One of those three things happened. And so then that begat the inspector gets out to do the inspection and fails it because it's not conforming with the approved plan. And the code says that you must follow the approved plan. And so we're kind of at that spot. So he came to Jeremy and said, what's the deal with diamond piers? And that's, you didn't know what approved meant. I'll read that to you just so you know. The definition of approved means approval by the building official pursuant to Minnesota State Building Code by reason of inspection and investigation testing, accepted principles, computer simulations, research reports, or testing performed by a licensed engineer or locally or nationally recognized test lab. So that the whole approval question, again, my fault, I didn't respond to the email and it slipped by me, and I apologize for that. So Jeremy didn't know what the deal was with the approval thing. And so he just brought it to council and said, what do you think? Can we allow them? And you guys said yes. And so here we are.
Well, the question I got, Scott, is I talked to every city around us and they allow them.
Well, so their building officials allow them, right? Okay. And if you call Green Isle, it's Darren Haslip. If you call Norwood, it's Darren Haslip. They're only probably two building officials around us. If you'd called Glencoe or Plato or Lester Prairie, they would have said no, because they're all me.
Oh, Norwood, Cologne.
Cologne is probably Metro West, I think. I'm not positive about that anymore. They may have their own department now. And I'll tell you, it's hard to undo that. I was the building official in Lake Elmo for about a year and a half, and we had 7 complaints over one winter from diamond piers that have been installed that were previously allowed by the last building official. And we made a determination that we weren't going to allow them anymore over the winter. And come spring, when people submitted permits, we just, you know, cross it out and say, we're not going to do it anymore. And there was a firestorm of controversy. I built one of these last year and it was fine. What's the big deal? It's difficult to change gears on this kind of stuff. The whole idea of approved means the building official gets to decide. And if I go into the evaluation service report from Penn Foundations, it talks about the idea that the building official gets to decide. The conditions of use that are stated, the ESR is the evaluation service report from the ICC, which writes the code, and they have a group that does, you know, you send them in a microphone and they say, oh yeah, it works like a microphone. And if you use it this way, it'll work. And Diamond Pier has submitted that. And what they're relying on is the 2018, 2015, and 2012 IRC section 403.1.4.1 exception 3 and IRC 403.1.4.1 exceptions 1 and 2. And Minnesota deleted that entire section out of the code. So that approval based on those sections doesn't apply in Minnesota. So now it's up to the building official to make that determination if they want to approve it or not. Here's a diagram of kind of what a diamond pier looks like. It's this little diamond shaped thing with the pins coming out the bottom. So I went to the Diamond Pier Foundation system, and it says very specifically, There is no product design or method of construction that is approved until a building official stamps the site plan for the project as approved. And the procedure to submit a diamond pier product is an alternate method per the 2020 Minnesota Residential Code, Minnesota Rule 1300.01.10, subpart 13, with the application for the building permit. So he should have filled out a request for an alternate with his application, according to how Diamond Pier wants it done in Minnesota, in order to make that work. And there was no such request. And again, it failed because he did it without permission on the plan and then didn't want to undo it after it was in. And so again, I don't want to sound defensive. I'm just trying to give you all the facts about where that's at. The last thing I would say, if I could, is that Diamond Pier did a frost study with an engineer in 2010 on a bunch of installations that were a year or 2 years old. And to me, this would be much more compelling if they went back to these same houses 13 years after that and said, oh, and they're still good. But one weird winter that maybe didn't have a lot of frost doesn't make that a sound system. 13, 14, 15 years of no visible concerns or damage is much more compelling in my mind. And I've suggested that to them. They've chosen not to do that for whatever that's worth. So sorry.
I'm not taking any side. And I agree with what you're saying, Scott. If it was two on the permit, you know, I get that too. You know, but it the frustrating part, probably for you, me, and everyone else sitting here at this table, is that you got certain towns allow them, other towns don't. I think there needs to be some clarification on the state building code on these.
They won't touch it.
Yeah, that's
which is ridiculous, exactly. Though. Like in my book, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because you don't, and you stated a very strong case. But you could win the lottery tomorrow. Next day, I could come in and say, use Diamond Pier. It's too subjective. The code should say shall.
Well, and so that part of the code is designed to allow for people to build a better mousetrap, right? A concrete pier footing is what we've done for 100 years, but that doesn't make it best. And helical piers are a great example, I think, but there are other systems as well. The idea of a sonotube, right? The cardboard tubes that we use now fairly frequently for round deck type footings, you know, they showed up 25 years ago or whenever it was. They were, you know, everyone just cast their concrete against dirt in the past. And one of the things they were trying to do is minimize the grip spots. If you use a post hole digger and dig down 42 inches, you got a hole that's 18 inches around. It's got dirt and rocks and things sticking out the side. When you fill it up with concrete, that conforms to the opposite of that shape. And then when frost pushes, it's got something to kind of grab on. It can push it up a little easier potentially. So the theory behind the sonotube was that it gives it a smooth surface that's going to make it harder for the frost to squeeze it out of the hole. Most of the times when a cast in place concrete pier footing fails, it broke. And then the top section, the top foot or 18 inches is getting heaved up, and then dirt falls in underneath it. And then it heaves up a little more and dirt falls in underneath it. And over the course of 4 or 5 years, it comes up and goes on the side. But it's very, very uncommon. It's not unheard of, but it's very uncommon that an entire footing is going to eject out of the ground if it's 3.5 feet deep.
What would be the benefit of the diamond pier? Is it cheaper or easier?
It's faster for construction because you could drive your diamond piers in the morning and build your deck on it that same day. So that's one of the things that they're selling. I think they're up at $125 or $150 a piece. If a contractor is doing the work themselves, I don't think that is a significant savings, but if they're hiring it out, it could be more. So there could be a cost advantage to them. I think that's what they're playing on, is primarily the convenience. You can do a deck in a day if you've got a good crew. So we got a couple of options, and the building official in me says, I don't get angry at people, but I'm a little peeved that he decided to do it anyway, given that if the whole process of they have to submit plans, I review and approve them, and they just build whatever they want anyway, this sort of runs afoul of that. But it's not about retribution or whatever. But I would be willing to consider him submitting as an alternate and writing some disclaimers on that alternate that it was done without inspections and that it was contrary to the approved plan and that he's assuming all risk of problem or failure with it. And maybe we just do it that way.
And that would be my recommendation if you were to allow him, that the responsibility and the liability falls on the homeowner then. They take the risk, right? So there's nothing, because hey, we don't want nobody coming back after the city. We don't want them coming after you saying, hey, why is my deck a foot lower? Hey, we told you, you can use, if you use diamond piers, it's at your own risk. I mean, that would be my only way I think you would do it, because if they're not, if it's not a clear cut, you know, because Allstate, I just assumed they were abide by code because I put them in Norwood doing work.
So I guess my thing is, if we do go with this, you know, he waives all, you know, I'm going to take all risk. And we go that route. How does he sell the house with that
That's
risk?
That's what I was going to ask.
When you sell a house, it's got a, I mean, if you finish a basement without a permit, you're selling that problem to the next person. And if they're not smart enough or wise enough or however you want to characterize that to figure it out, you bought that problem and it could or might not ever become an issue for you. Right.
And he would have to disclaim.
Right. But that's my thing though, is because, I mean, you know, people sell things to people under the table all the time without them knowing.
Sure.
How does that next guy know that all of a sudden the city's in the clear for this or the contract?
Well, it would be part of the permit record. Okay. The document that they would sign and then I would approve would go into the permanent record. But, you know, I don't think these are evil, right? I mean, I don't think they're inherently dangerous. I just, they're not approved. It's within my purview to not approve them. And he did it anyway. That's what it comes down to. And I would not, however, want this, the way the request for alternate in the code works is it's for this house, this circumstance, these reasons only, and doesn't set precedence. And I want to kind of unwind that whole concept going forward so that we don't encounter this again. It's a one-time deal. I'll approve it for this one with those circumstances, but I don't want that now to be the new standard in Hamburg.
You mean by approve it with the contingent that the homeowner will take the liability on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then obviously he would sign off on something.
Yeah, he has to sign the request and I would reply back with the conditions.
That, are you thinking, Scott, then moving forward that
yeah,
we would just make it clear that the use of diamond piers are not for the city of Hamburg are not on an approved footing?
I didn't win the lottery, but I sold the company a couple of years ago and I'm going to be winding down in the next, I don't know, 6 months or less. The MinSpec and the organization tie is still there. Tom is the gentleman that's most likely to succeed me as the building official for the organization. Ty is the state manager for SafeBuilt for MinSpec. Tom may well have a different opinion about it. Most of my guys are, you're the billing official, you get to say, and if they have an opinion, I encourage them to share it. Cause I want to know if I'm one of the challenges of being a billing official in a small community where there's nobody else working, like in Shorewood, for instance. Wade works a lot with Ty and us on things, but Wade is an employee of Shorewood and you get a kind of a God complex as a billing official. Cause there's no one to bounce ideas off of and no one that says, you know, that's dumb. What were you thinking? Unless it's a contractor who says that's dumb and then you take offense to it and you get defensive and all that other stuff. But when, you know, when it's in the group, it's kind of okay to do. Most of them, I encourage them to object to things that they think I'm out to lunch on. And it doesn't happen very often, but I've changed my mind a couple of times on things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, garages should be in the energy code. That's my belief. If you're going to heat a garage, you have to insulate it so that we don't just dump the hot air out into the environment. But garages are exempt from the energy code. That's just the way it is. And I, you know, I kind of wrap my arms around that for about 4 years until someone said, Scott, that's dumb. It's not in here. It says right there. And that was the end of it. So I got to change my mind once in a while. So Tom could come in and say, I'm fine with Diamond Piers, but as long as I'm the guy, I struggle. There are some days when I feel beaten down and I just go, fine, I'll just accept them because, you know, who cares? But there's a reason why I don't accept them. It's not just because I don't like the guys from Penn Foundations or that I think their design is stupid or it's not innovative or whatever.
It's just frustrating because years ago we had this talk too of something similar like that too, where when all the products came out for the maintenance free, right? Remember that? You know, Menard sells it, but
you can buy tons of stuff at Menards that you cannot install.
Right. That you can go buy something and then find out it don't meet code. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have a frustration and where, you know, people, nothing wrong with anybody at state building code or making rules or regulations, but if they want job security, they should be tackling, I think, issues like that.
Well, there's a kind of uniform commercial code allows anyone to sell anything, you know, for the most part, and government can't write orders that say you can't do that, but they can write building code that says you can't install it. So if you want to use it for a bird feeder, you can buy one of those little slinky trap things, but you can't install one under your sink because it's not allowed in Minnesota. So if you're okay with all that, and if the explanation was clear enough and whatnot, I will move ahead with getting him to fill out the request for alternate and we'll process that and move ahead. Yeah.
But I think the biggest part, what you've talked about, is that frost depth, right? That 42,
mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're driving them in and I've driven them in, you're, you know, yeah, it's 48 inches, but it goes in like this. So is it, if you get below that 42, do you think then it's an
well, no, because not? It's bearing on the underside all the way from the surface down. It's not, you know, it's not like you dug a hole and you're resting on the dirt at the bottom. Okay. And that's really where I got to be on that is you got to be bearing on soils below frost depth.
I want to understand.
No, I've had people say, it's a 60-inch rod. It goes down to 44 inches.
60-inch rod in then.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was thinking
for a 70-inch rod in
that. Yeah. But because it's bearing on all the underside of that surface, it isn't doing what I believe the code intends.
Intense.
So that was kind of a long way around a silly little building code thing, but I figured I needed to come and explain it to you. So
no, appreciate it. I feel like we got a pretty good best case scenario to move forward, I guess. And so what do we do to undo what we did? As far as our full approval.
He was kind of getting there and then I interrupted with the whole other conversation, but I don't know that you need to do anything because technically it wasn't binding. It's not official. I mean, hate to say it, but the building code says the building official gets to decide. Right, exactly. Because if you could do that, you'd then think, well, we can make everyone paint their doors white or, you know, put up exit signs in their houses or whatever, and you can't do that either. Right. But that everybody knows now that the reason why, and that it's not okay. And that just, you can stick in the back of your head. If someone says, well, you know, Tommy did it, special circumstance, it was allowed for that one only. And otherwise we'll just let the process take care of itself. I'm not sure you need to do anything necessarily. I mean, if you want to undo what you did, you know,
Collins, any objections?
No, I just wanted to make sure there wasn't something formally we had to do, but it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Turn on my diamond peers.
Yep. That's
Thanks, Scott.
Sorry, Mitch.
Anything else for Scott?
No. Anything for me,
Council?
Well,
no.
Is Council acceptable to doing this kind of a one-off thing that they sign off then?
I think so.
I think that's
clear up one. Because otherwise, you know, it's hard for me to go back and say, oh no, our building inspector came in now and said no, they're not allowed. You have to tear them out.
The alternate would be that we let the permit expire. I mean, that's the other alternative, is that it just gets to 6 months and it expires and we failed it when we inspected it last, and that's just where it sits, which really isn't any, it's worse than what we're suggesting.
Yeah.
So, but that would be the other alternative.
Personally, I'd rather give them this option.
Yeah.
unless the work is done, objection so. To it, that they know they're taking the responsibility.
Okay. That's what I'll do.
Just okay. to cover both of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to look out for, you got to look out for your business. I got to look out for the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. I think that's the best case given the situation.
Good.
Unfortunately.
I'll be looking at fee schedules this year. I don't anticipate any big changes, but I'll just take a peek at them and I'll get them to Jeremy sometime, probably in late September, or early October. So.
Good.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, we'll move on then to the Zummerfest committee.
Yeah.
You again.
Got a couple things. So I guess I'll represent Fire Department and the Zummerfest committee. I'd like to formally request Zummerfest to be a community event down at the park.
No issues with that?
Any questions on that? We've done it in the past.
Yeah.
So is that what Resolution 2023-08 is?
Yeah. So if you, before we adopt that, if you want to go through your other things,
then yep.
make sure we got.
Yeah, I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but if you want to write this stuff down. The next item would be requesting Railroad Street to shut down for a band. And part of that would be the newly acquired grass. And it would be 100 feet by 100 feet square. And we would like to request that to be shut down for the band to set up from 6 p.m. And then for teardown, 1 a.m.
And questions on that?
Nope.
And we did it.
Nope.
We've done it for other benefits. So I guess.
Yep.
You want to just lay them all out? And
then... Yep.
Okay.
I'll skip those two. We've gone through the Bernard Group in the past for signs for our sponsors. And a friend of mine says, stop. He works there. He goes, just don't. It's too expensive. So I went to Carver County. And basically, they will do signs, but not for a fire department function. Don't know why. But they said they will do it if they have approval from the city. And that money would come from our Zummerfest fund / fire department. So we would still pay for it. We just need the okay. It seems silly, but that's what it is.
Would that be in the resolution?
No, that's not in there.
And then I have two more smaller items. Overflow parking by the grass dumpster. Because there's limited space, especially with car rolling and mini rods and whatever. We got permission from Mueller's and the bank on each other side. So don't know if anyone would even use it, but just in case. And last item, tables and chairs from community hall. Not all of them, obviously, but a decent amount. Maybe 10, 20 tables. That's all I got.
Making sure there's not a rental.
Yeah, looks like we could use the ones at the community hall. Just don't touch the ones here. Because it looks like there's a rental on the 24th.
Okay.
Unless you're going to bring them all back.
Probably not. The next morning I will.
So what in there is covered under Resolution 2023?
So locking off the street and the park.
Calling it a community event?
Yeah, calling it a community event. Them too, but then I guess the parking.
The sign. Which would just be an email. There wouldn't be any cost for the city.
Separate.
Multiple. And then tables and chairs.
Yeah.
And tables, chairs, room, station.
No, tables and chairs are not in here either.
So, Council, I guess we look for approval. Resolution 2023-08, essentially calling Zummerfest a community festival and then closing off the area as described by Mr. Egan by know-it-alls.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2023-08. Also make a motion to approve grass parking. Rental of community hall chairs and tables.
We'll take the first one first.
Okay.
Then you can make one. Then you can make one motion with all that stuff afterwards.
Second.
So moved and seconded to approve resolution 2023-08. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pulsini, aye.
Councilman Brower, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. Now make that other big motion.
All right. We'll make an make a motion to use grass parking for Zummerfest. Also to rent the community hall chairs and tables, and for the city to make approval for sponsorship signs.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pulsini, aye.
Councilman Brower, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose.
Cool.
Passes.
Thanks for the support, guys.
All right.
Yep. Get it.
Go on then to old city business. So looking for a use of that vacant lot. I don't know if anybody has come across something other than a petting zoo or archery range. No. All right. Well, keep it on your radar. Hopefully maybe we'll get something that can do, still have the ability to apply for SHIP money. So move on then to minor subdivision.
All right. As all of you are aware, we were to have a public hearing tonight for that minor subdivision. So I'll try to keep this short, but if you're aware, the survey that was submitted to the city of Hamburg for that minor subdivision was track one would be all of Trevish's properties combined. And then track two would be the city's parcel. This was submitted by Trevish's attorney, Mr. Needham. But with that, in sending out the notices and setting up the public hearing for tonight, Steve talked to me on Friday and said that are not his wishes. He wishes to keep his three parcels as separate parcels, not combined into one parcel. So the problem we run into there is with him wanting that, the survey is going to have to be redone, showing his three parcels and the city parcel in order to do that minor subdivision. So the problem we run into that is, you know, part of the agreement and the settlement was that they would take care of all the surveying and the filing. And I still think that should be the case. So it's on him to get that survey done. But, you know, a concern I have, will it get done? So we're kind of back to the drawing board, which kind of is kind of upsetting because him and his attorney should have been communicating as to what they wanted into what they were submitting to the city. Obviously, they're not on the same page. So we're kind of back to square one on this. And we need to get this done because the whole point of the minor subdivision is to be able to create the legal descriptions so we can file our legal description, get it in our name, get it off his name, and get the other portion of that parcel into his name. And along with that, the other mix that's going to come into play is the zoning of those properties, because what we have there right now is the property on the corner there. We have that zone single family, and then it's business district for his second lot. And then the lot we split, that's ag. So these are discussions we have to have too, how we want to zone that. I don't have an issue with zoning the one home in case he ever wants to separately. I mean, I somewhat get his point. If you want to sell that one parcel and that home and somebody wanted to live there, they would be able to because it's zoned residential. But the rest of that, I think, should be downtown business district. I mean, all of it but our parcel that we could keep ag in talking with the planner. Because the next step then would be, you know, keep that one parcel the same. What I'd like to see him do is combine two, his other parcel with his buildings on, that's not the single family home there in the corner. So the gas station and that shed, and then whatever, I'd like to see that combined as one full parcel. It would just make most sense. And I talked to Steve about that, about doing that, because the reason, if you recall, when he originally went back about the parcel was to help out with some of the property lines for the back of parcel two of his. So that's what I'd recommend. And I know the concerns, the complaints, the things I hear from the grapevine from the city, you know, is when we zone that, is he allowed to do what he's doing? Well, as far as I look at it, is I've talked to our planners about this, is downtown business district is what we have his second parcel zoned, which makes sense. It's downtown Hamburg, right? It's not, we don't have much of a downtown, but it is downtown Hamburg. And you want to keep that downtown. That's meant for office space and, you know, your little knick-knack office spaces with possible, you know, possible mixed use for apartments. That's what our ordinance details of, right? Does not allow storage yard, junkyard, salvage yard. I don't know how the Trebishes want to classify it, but that's going to be the great debate. I think it should be business district. It makes most sense. Our planners believe that's what it should be, downtown business district, what it should be zoned, but it does not allow for a salvage yard. I mean, because that's kind of what I see it as. I think most of the people in town do, but yet I think we need to have that discussion with Steve at a meeting too, as to what he classifies his business as, or what he classifies the use of those properties. So, like I said, I apologize, but I mean, when your attorney submits the documentation to be filed, I'd like to think that that's what you had in mind.
So, I mean, can we just say this is what your attorney filed based on the settlement? If he doesn't get it resurveyed?
I mean, I want to give him, you know,
right, but if he doesn't,
let him talk to his attorney and do what he wants to do with it, but there's got to be a hard date.
But ultimately, that's what his attorney
submitted.
It's not my fault. They weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or I feel, well, I felt bad.
Right, and,
you know,
he can have 30, 60 days to do his thing, but it's not going to be next year at this time. And,
you know, because we put a lot of time into this whole concept here. You know, I'm hoping we can sit down reasonably and talk it out. But I don't want it to drag out, and nobody in town does. And I don't want to be sitting here incurring legal fees anymore either. I don't think any of us do. I mean, I think all of us want to resolve it.
Yeah.
So I'd hope he would come to the table with what he wanted, but yet that should have been done to begin with his attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's what I feel like at this point. It's now,
I
mean, you're,
I don't know how you can point fingers at the city when it's your attorney that filed the survey.
Exactly.
And it was your responsibility to file the attorney according to the settlement. So that's where the frustration comes in on my part.
I'm assuming if we wanted to, I agree with you. I mean, I'm up for giving him some time here, but I mean, if we wanted to, I'm assuming we could just move forward. I mean, is that not an official document?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not to say that we would, but if pushed into shove,
we filed it. But we gotta give them supposed to file it. So I'd have to talk to our attorneys to.
Yeah, that'll cost.
Yeah,
grand to ask a question, but.
I mean, the last thing we want to do is do something that won't hold up.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Rush through anything. It's, you know, but I think, I mean, we can still have to discuss about it, but whether it's 30 days or 60 days, you have to have this survey done that, you know, the way you want it and submitted to us within this time, or we will push forward with what was currently submitted.
I would say give them 45 days, and it's, you know, because I'm sure to get time to get a surveyor out mm-hmm. there and get things, them to talk to each other and mm-hmm. say,
and come to our next meeting and he can.
Right. I did talk to him about that coming to the second meeting in September.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Unless, I mean, this is just what I'm trying to do to resolve.
Right.
If you guys have any grander.
And that's just
thoughts. I'm
open. Why don't we just wait till the 26th and see what we come up with? And
I would, yeah, I agree, but I would let him know that he has to come up with something.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's his attorney that did all this. And now we're sitting here with waiting, and this was in the resolution for a property that's,
you know, and, done. And two, I want to see if there's any, like, pardon my legal talk, you know, if there's a statute of limitations or something, or something that outlines even with the settlement, when those has to be done, you know, because I mean, we're sitting here going, it's been almost, has it been 9 months?
Yeah, close to it.
Since the settlement. You know, and I know there's some misconstrue out there that, you know, why is the city heading up the minor subdivision? You know, why are we doing this? Well, the reason we're doing it is we're taking charge of it so we can get it done, get that approved, because we got to prove it anyways. And basically all we're doing with the minor subdivision is saying, this is our property, this is yours. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in between. There's more steps that need to take place, like the zoning
afterwards.
Right. But there's nothing going on here other than trying to put the properties in the proper names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just
put this thing to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's been enough money spent, and so the longer we wait, the more money we'll spend on it. So
too much.
We put a time frame on it for him to come back to us with whatever his lawyer and him agree on, and we move on from there. And then if nothing is resolved, then
we continue. And I think too, this comes to an agreement that we relay that it's his cost.
100%. Yeah.
That's underlined. Yeah, I mean, that was
agreed upon.
You know, I don't think it's the city's fault for what was submitted.
I mean, personally, if I was paying for that, I would know it was being submitted. If it's one, two, or three lots.
Right.
Agreed on that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I would. Let's just go with the guidance of get a hold of him, tell him we'll want him to be at the next meeting on the 26th with a game plan going forward. Otherwise, council will
go forward.
Consider other options.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on then to public nuisance violations.
All right. So I went around. We had sent letters out. We sent two rounds of letters out. I went around today, and we're down to three people that haven't addressed anything. 679 Park Avenue, 410 Sophia. And 619 David. And if you want, I will
show you the properties. Start with 619 David. That's what we're dealing with. I mean, been like that for since garage sales. So that property.
Got no response.
Nope. From neither of the three I mentioned, other than Mr. Chadwick's here tonight. So maybe he can act on his behalf. The other ones is Graham's here.
one book. I know here another look of where you just have junk, fire tabs, junk motor. I don't know if it's operational. Remember them two properties. The other property is 79. Here, the main thing is just the weed. I mean, it doesn't look like anything's been. You know, back here, I mean, some of these gotta be put 6 feet. Well, I don't know if this vehicle is operational. As you can see, I mean, these weeds are up at least 4 feet, it looks like. Side of the building. Front of the building. Nothing's been addressed. Sent out the letters. That's where we're at with the nuisances. I don't know.
The one red car that's in the back, that's one of the tenants. We couldn't get rid of that by the end of the week.
So how much progress do you think you can make by the time our next council meeting on the 26th will
be? I'm going to be able to get that on the 27th.
Okay.
So.
Council, any thoughts?
I mean,
just that 2 weeks before we went on vacation, so I've got to be hot. Sweating stuff, they can change my shirt out twice a day. So once a month, and once it's like a drive home, so I'm driving the car home. Well, this is what he should.
Right. Well, if you can commit to getting it done by Friday, unless council objects, we'll hold off until the 26th on any other further action.
Fine.
Council, any objection to that?
I'm all right with that.
Okay. I'll go with that. As far as the other two properties, council thoughts.
No reply, no nothing. Prosecute them.
If you're not going to come up and defend yourself, at least, I mean.
They've got 2 months notice.
I mean, we're all human. We get life happens and things get away, but it means you said you haven't come up here and said anything or made an effort at all. And
yeah.
Reached out twice now, right?
Yep. Prosecute them.
Okay. Look for a motion then to move forward on, what are the addresses again?
410 Sophia and 619 David Avenue.
Make a motion to prosecute 610 David.
619 David.
619 David.
410.
410.
Sophia.
Second it.
Let's move and second to move ahead with prosecution. The two said properties. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All oppose. Passes. What are we beeping for? Oh,
sorry.
Moving on then to the cannabis ordinance.
Some cities are taking a wait-and-see approach, and other cities are enacting moratoriums. So I just kept it on the agenda to let you know that's kind of what's going around with the cannabis ordinances right now. And then some of the bigger cities, though, obviously they're putting things in place. But just to get a feel from council, their thoughts, where they want to go or what they want to do. I have received input from a few residents in town that they would like to see something put in place. But I haven't heard of any instances.
Well, I don't know. My position is, and I don't think everybody pretty much knows, is that as of right now, I don't know if we need to do anything. I don't see a bunch of people hanging out at the park, smoking up, like everybody maybe thought was going to happen after this ordinance or this law got passed. But
yeah, I guess that's my stance, right or wrong.
That's kind of what we talked about last time. I mean, yeah. If people are going to do it, they would have already been doing it. It's not like we have police that sit in the park and watch.
Yeah,
be the truth test.
So just have a wait and see policy and just see what.
Yeah,
we can always add it.
Pipe, yeah,
and then we know more.
Yeah,
and you see what if another neighboring town does.
Yeah, the longer we wait, the more examples we'll have.
Right.
And something probably a little more.
Yeah.
Concrete.
Yeah, I like that.
And just like people are, we're going to be doing it if they wanted to do it prior before. So
yeah,
we've never had really major complaints. I mean, I guess I'm newer here. So, but have we had any major complaints before on this? And if we haven't, I guess we just stead ahead until we run into an issue.
Agreed.
Hopefully it's not too late then, but I mean, I don't think we'll run into anything big.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that direction then.
Yep.
Move on with new city business, additional mosquito spraying. For 2023.
So we are done for the year spraying for our state pest. I didn't know if I felt you wanted to do any additional or not. It's $325 per additional spraying. So
his mosquitoes this summer.
It's been so dry.
Yeah.
All right. It's been dry, and I mean it's already 41 degrees the other night. I mean, we'll have our third round of summer come through yet, but
yeah,
I mean, a good process happens. And too far away. So
yeah, I'm not too concerned.
Okay.
We'll save it.
We'll let it ride till next year.
Okay. Next thing on the new item for new business, League of Minnesota Cities liability coverage options.
Yeah. Just if what this is that we want to look at any additional insurance. And what it is, the league asks every year, if we, either city does not waive the monetary limits on municipal tort liability established by state statutes, you know, or we waive that. And we're talking to our agent and to the league. The only thing where a lot of times where you need the additional insurance as to what is limited by state statutes is this, the city would get into something where they are varying them. Negligent, you know, then that's where maybe you want that extra coverage. But otherwise, most things are kind of covered by state statute, which tells you, you know, you can't obtain any more than certain limits. But most cities don't waive, and they just go by the Minnesota statutes and then hope that odd thing that's not covered by statutes, you know, doesn't hurt you. But there, why I'm bringing it to your attention, you can buy additional coverage if you feel you would need it other than what the statutory limits are. But then also that comes with
more price. Yeah.
You know? So what we've been doing in the past is not waiving the monetary limits on municipal tort liability established by state statutes.
And this is something where we need to make a decision on for next year's budget, right? Or do we have to do this?
For tonight.
For tonight, okay. So, council, any additional questions or thoughts?
Keep it the same.
Yeah, it's my thoughts. The next line item will take care of any extra money we need. Not the world. I'm sure.
Okay. Move on then to the 2024 proposed budget.
We're kind of all the years I got the format of the budget down now. Me and Jason are going to go through it this week. Some of the biggest things we're seeing right now is street maintenance, seal coating. And the big thing we're probably looking at over the next 5 years, we've averaged out about $20,000 to $25,000. You know, for seal coating. And some of the other things we've looked at is doing some like the slur for the basketball court and the park area and the baths, and then also at the baseball park too. So them are some other areas we're looking at too. Did he ever get back on a price yet? Jet Black?
No, in October. Okay. He said once everything winds down, he's
okay.
Come on.
Okay.
I told him it's for next year. So
okay. So I mean, we're putting a schedule together. I mean, Jason's kind of taking that on, and he's putting a spreadsheet together based off some of the things I had, and he's creating one too for maintenance. So that's one big thing. The other thing is the grinder station. Needs to be rebuilt. It's in bad shape. It needs to be bigger, right? That's probably the biggest thing. And then just the inner structure of it just needs to be redone.
What is a grinder station?
Like a lift station where your pumps are.
On Jacob Street there.
Got it. Yeah. So that's another one of our big costs. And another one is looking at possibly having to recharge the filtration system in the water treatment plant. And that's about 40 grand.
40 grand, somewhere around there, all new sand and everything.
It should be done every 20 years. next year's 20 years. But we're still talking with Kurt and John Tome that was with SEH when we built the plant. He's helping us with that too, to see where we're at. And if we need to do that, we won't have nothing more definite probably till
in October,
November.
We're going to regenerate the sand, and then we're going to try and get John out here so we can take some core samples to see what it's, how that looks, see if we have to do anything. So.
And that'll tell the tale, like those core samples.
Yeah, core need to samples will kind of tell the tale of if it's at the end of its life or not. Or, so.
Our hope is, you know, we have the debt coming off the books next year. So that's 60 grand mm-hmm. for the water treatment plant. That would be huge if we could buy one more year, but we kind of won't know that till October, November. what were some of the other
riprap,
of course, phase two out at the ponds. Some of the other things we've looked at, you know, we've created a spreadsheet for big ticket items. Them are on there, and then the other one was like a vehicle. But what we'll be looking at is maybe presenting using savings to purchase the vehicle.
Redoing the floors.
Yeah, and then the hall floors is the other big repair that we would have for next year. And then there are other minor things, but them were the big things that we've highlighted so far.
They seem pretty big.
There are a few that are, yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Big. So my thought process is, you know, as you can see on there, as we normally do, put it together, have the budget workshop, and then we got the second meeting in September to set our preliminary. My thought process is me and Jason will go through the budget and we will put the big ticket items in there so we can see where we're at. And then as we always have, then we work our way down.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what laid out in front of us, I guess. See where
the other thing, two notes, two pluses too, is we have about 16 grand coming off the books for the 2007 street project. So that debt was off the books this year. So we don't have that next year. So that frees up 16 grand. And then we also have the Peterbilt pumper out here. The 2018, no, wait, was it a Freightliner? I apologize. Apologize to the fire department. For the 2018 equipment certificate comes off the books, and that's $22,800. And then this is something also is we're getting about $25,000 for this public safety aid, one-time approved aid. Haven't gotten it yet, but I'm trying to look into what that specifically can be used for, which is I'm struggling with right now.
Grinder station for sure.
Well, I guess, you know, I think the ideal thing of it was for policing and fire department is what it was kind of meant for. But I'm just trying to get that refined a little bit as to what we can use those monies for.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, any angle we could get at that,
right?
That would be ideal.
Well, start putting your thinking caps on. And that, remember when we set the preliminary budget, that's the max that we can increase the levy. So it's always, that's the one that's usually the shocker. So that's the wish list levy. And that, and like I've said before, if we set it at 100% and we end up ending it at 3% increase, we cut taxes by 97%. That's how it works at the state.
Yeah.
When the Department of Education gets their budget cut by 2% above the 5% they already got.
I just wish we had their surplus.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So what we need to do is a motion to hold a budget workshop on September 19th. If is any possibility of meeting earlier than 7 or 7 the earliest that we can all meet?
I could probably do 6, I guess.
I could do 6.
You can do 6 also.
I look for motion to set the budget workshop September 19th at 6 o'clock.
I make a motion to hold the budget workshop September 16th at 6 p.m.
19.
Second. So moving seconded to hold the budget workshop September 19th at 6 p.m. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Then I look for motion. Yeah, we're not going to be able to have a public hearing by then. So I look for motion to hold our second meeting September 26th at 7 o'clock.
Make a motion to hold the second city council meeting at September 26th at 7 o'clock.
Council Poplar, aye. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to hold the second meeting for September 26th at 7 o'clock. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Next item is the 6-month employee evaluation. It's up to you if you want to go closed or open.
Whatever, just make it open out here.
Okay. So Jason's willing to go open. So that we don't have to.
Safe time to close and everything.
And that way we don't want, you know, Jeremy to mess up the recording or anything like that.
Just want to share that. All right, so just go over Jason's review quick. It's just as cold as just taking my breath away. I tell you, I didn't do anything, and it's just brutal. So quality work, knowledge, job skills. I think Jason's done a great job in learning all the aspects of the job. I think the biggest thing that I like with Jason is that the background of the construction. If you've been down in the shop, and if you haven't, I hope you knew what it looked like before and what it does now. I mean, the things he's taken on and done, I think he's doing a great job. Efficient, productive, you know. In the first 6 months, I think Jason exceeded expectations because he's very efficient and productive when it comes to work. Jason is a hard worker.
He comes, he shows up to work. He doesn't show up to, you know, what am I going to do today? You know, he just has a great attitude and takes things on and gets them done. Jason's dependable and reliable, slightly meets exceeds expectations there almost, you know, had no issues. Been here, comes to work every day, works every day, has good attitude. Public contact. There too, a little bit more than meets expectations. You know, and a lot of these, if you were here longer, they'd probably be fours, a lot of them, I'll be honest. you know, Jason really makes the effort to communicate with staff. If you see him up here 5-6 times a day, it's not because he's wasting time. Okay. He's up here going, what do you think of this? What about that? You know, he's running things by me, and I love that because he's always thinking of things to do, and he'll bring it to my attention before he does them. Or, I mean, the communications, it's great. Adhere to city policy, meets expectations. We really haven't run into anything with city policies in the first 6 months, so no issues there. Initiative, industrious, take direction. This is where I really, you know, Jason really exceeds expectation because Jason's initiative is, I think he goes above and beyond. A prime example of that I can give you is just when we're sitting here looking at streets and he's asking, what have we done? What info do you have? He takes my info, he creates a spreadsheet for himself, and boom, we're off and running on 5 other things it leads to. You know, another prime example is, you know, we were talking about doing the slurring. He's like, well, what if I save the city money and I try to do some of it myself? I mean, them are the things you love to have as a worker. and then same thing with public contact and the staff relations, as I touched on earlier, had no issues with Jason. And like I said, the communication, you know, it's been great. Accepts change. That's what this job is. I mean, from day to day, you're always accepting change, and he exceeded the expectations there. The next one, I kind of just gave him expectations. I docked him a little bit because we haven't seen his snow removal skills. you know, he's done a good job with weed control and the ball fields. I mean, really got to hand it to Jason what he's done with the ball fields down there. I've actually gotten compliments this year that the ball fields are constantly dragged and kept in good shape. And he's got, that's one thing I love with Jason. He's got big ideas what he's going to do. And the thing I love about that is I think his ideas will come to fruition. So he's done a great job with the ballparks down there. Safety conscious. There, you know, meets expectations. We haven't had any safety issues. Hope to never have them. You know, I always say, ask for help and assistance when needed. Don't try to take on too much. Safety is always a priority because you're a one-man band, and if a one-man band's down, the whole town's down. So, yeah, safety is a priority. buildings and equipment maintenance, you know, to me, exceeds expectation. What he's done in 6 months. You go look at that shop. I highly recommend anybody go down and look at that shop. And I wish I had before pictures.
I do.
Okay, great. Because you need to show them and then see what he's done. I mean, the whole one wall now is shelving. Things are put away. They're stored. Yeah, there's messes at times, but that's because he's creating a mess to eliminate, you know, mess, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taken out the wall down there, opened it up, and takes a lot of initiative in doing things, and it is huge having someone with a construction background. And not only that, he has the ambition to get it done, and he does get it done. Community center, Paul, city shop there again too. I think he's done a good job in maintaining the buildings, especially you know, the city shop. And then kind of what I like, the buildings and equipment maintenance, I kind of touched on before, but I think one of the biggest things I really see with Jason too is scheduling and doing the spreadsheets and keeping maintenance records, where I really think a lot of these things lacked in the past. No knock on anybody before Jason, but he speaks my language in spreadsheets, let's say. it's huge to have that, because then the record's there, you know. Water treatment, wastewater, I think there, you know, he's done a good job working with Kurt. I've talked to Kurt. Kurt really enjoys working with Jason. So that's a huge plus to have. And he's learning a lot, and he's taken it a lot to heart. He's got thrown into fire a little bit with some of the testing too, which, you know, we're trying to monitor, and he goes and tackles it. And I think one of the Jason's greatest assets is the fact that if there's something wrong or something's not right, he's looking for a way to make it right. I mean, it's just, you know, as I'll say is, you know, like accomplishments, new abilities. One thing I just put, it is his first review, encourage Jason to set up goals for next year. Comment I made, he's more than capable to handle anything that gets thrown at him. I really do feel that. And he's not afraid to take it on. Areas of improvement, of course, always getting them water and sewer license. That's what we really want. That's probably a big goal. I mean, and the reason why I say that mainly is because I've seen all the other things that he's done already, that's just kind of the one thing really he needs yet. And then I think Jason will be lucky enough to have a guy that kind of is a pretty good package deal for all the things he's capable of doing. Recommendation that just encourage Jason to continue to work with Kurt, attend any necessary workshops, seminars, anything, networking with other cities. You know, I think that's your biggest assets working in the public sector is, you know, finding others that have gone through a problem or had a problem. You know, like you said, don't need to reinvent the wheel. And just kind of my final comments. You know, I find Jason to be a great addition to the city. During his first 6 months, takes on a lot of responsibilities, very industrious in his work, go-getter. I mean, Jason, he's a breath of fresh air. You know, and to be honest, if we needed another employee, I'd want another Jason. I mean, I really feel highly of the job Jason's done. I think he's doing a great job. I mean, his biggest asset, like I said, is he's not afraid to look for work. And that in today's world is such a huge bonus. So I'm glad he made the choice to apply and take the job.
Second that.
Third that.
Council, any comments or any questions?
Keep up the good work.
I gotta say, I hear multiple people say you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
What a
turnaround.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say. What an incredible turnaround from where we were to where we are right now. It's incredible. I didn't think it could happen that fast, to be honest with you.
Are you still finding the job boring?
Hmm?
Are you still finding the job boring?
Well, I find stuff to do. And more stuff comes up.
But that's what's great. He takes it in stride. And the thing I love with Jason's, he's not going to be one of those guys, you know, where you're like, geez, where's Jason today? Where's he hiding? Or see, what's he? No. If you don't find Jason, that's because Jason probably looking for something to do. I mean, he's a person that doesn't like to not be doing something, I believe. I truly do believe that. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm like, you know, it's 5-6 times a day, you know, we talk and I'm like, I gotta get some of my work done, but yeah, that's a good idea. You know, so
That's another aspect I love, and that, you know, that don't ever be afraid to come in the office and ask questions and talk, because, you know, a lot of the times I think some things would just be like, oh, that's just another thing I got to do. I better not. Now he finds it, brings it up, and tackles it.
Awesome.
Nobody's got anything else? Keep the next 6 months just as good as this 6 months. We should be good to go. Okay. We'll move on then to city council reports.
So with that, though, sticking up for you here, Jason. At a six-month review, we said the possibility of a raise. So that...
100%.
I thought you said something else.
I was wondering.
I think it was you were going to pay for it.
Oh, perfect. I just didn't know if there was like a higher wage thing. To be honest with you, I thought we said start the full, and then I did thought maybe we waived that. I didn't know how we handled that, but if that's open,
yeah.
I mean, I think we.
If it's open, then I agree 100%.
I mean, after a review like that, in 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, he's. I think Jason's done more in 6 months than a lot of people would do in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are the wishes of the council?
I mean, I'm going to throw out a dollar.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
I mean, I guess this is my first time really going through this besides with Jan, but I mean, what is common? You know, I don't know.
This will probably be my second time.
Okay.
Or no, my third. Well, the last one, no, we didn't get that far. This is my second.
So that a motion?
I make a motion to raise Jason's wage by a dollar.
Second.
And by a dollar, you mean a dollar an hour?
Yes.
Motion's been made and seconded to raise Jason's hourly wage by a dollar. Any further discussion?
Councilman Polsey and I.
Councilmember Weber, I.
Councilman Tracy, I.
Mayor Lund, I. All oppose. Passes.
I'd like to say thank you.
Thank you, Buck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to city council reports. Councilmember Polsey.
Not a lot, I guess, for me. I've had a couple people ask, and I know I brought it up before, so I'm going to bring it up again. For whoever's listening, please stop throwing the dental flossers on the road on County Road 50 there by the park. They're everywhere.
I'm telling too that I can't remember where it was that I got to fix them up.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is because I've been asked, people want to know, do we have city street sweepers hired to come through? Because I know that we've had in the past and they come through yet this year. Or some people have asked on that.
And that probably won't be till October, end of November.
Okay.
We try to do that as long as we can till
right. The
leaves.
Right, right. So, and that's the other thing is what people have noticed, especially on the, eastern side of Hamber and County Road 50 with all the construction. With the little rain we do have, when there is rain, there's a tremendous amount of sand in some of the gutters just because of probably the traffic from redoing the road. So you'll see the sand build up in some of the gutterways that some people have brought up, but I figured we'd probably wait till the street sweeper sweeped it up, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that people brought up to me, I guess, a little bit. But other than that, I have nothing besides just floss at home and stop throwing a spoon. Sick joke.
Councilman Poplar.
My thing is, if anybody's listening out there, whoever's got dogs and they let it run in the park, pick up their dog poop. It's ridiculous. I saw one person with a stroller with their baby and their black lab pooped right by Jason's, where the water thing is, where he's got to do the measurements. And she just saw him, watched him, and just walked away. Someday that kid's going to be walking. And she's going to pick up something, or he. It just pick up your dog waste, please.
Can we get like poop bags in the park?
What do we? I looked. It was $200, $250. Where they have these, where you have the sign
and
the
bags.
baggie and the little garbage bin.
Right.
But even then,
unfortunately, what I'm seeing with the people that I've seen and watched, they're not going to take the time to take the bag. And
I mean, there's enough garbage cans in the park and there is enough people that use them for that.
Yep. But it's ridiculous. I mean, someday that child's going to be playing in that park and it's going to pick up, oh, what's this, mommy? So please.
Anything else?
That's it.
Councilwoman Weber.
I have nothing.
Councilman Tracy.
Nothing here.
Yeah. Just a couple of things I have. This Thursday, I'll be attending the Southwest Corridor Transportation Coalition meeting. And they'll be talking, well, giving updates of Highway 212 and Highway 5 and other stuff along those lines. I also did get in contact with the county. I don't know if any of you have noticed it, but when you drive out County Road 50, it's a little bit of a wavy road.
Water stands on it.
So I've brought that to the attention of, I don't know if her position is really an engineer position or what it is, but she said she would look into it. Has she got anything back to you?
I have not heard nothing since we last talked about it.
Well, maybe I'll have to follow up with her on that.
So I know that me and Kurt went that. One guy who was like the super Carb County, I mentioned that to him, and he said that day they were actually taking measurements for all that, but that was well over a month ago at least. And
I'm sure nothing will get done this year.
No, I mean, I told him exactly where water stood, and after I went and got ears.
Yeah. So, and then the only other thing is we'll get a newsletter out at the end of the week here. I did talk with the post office this week. They sounds like they got someone in the pipeline, but they're still looking for help in that. So if you know of anybody that needs a job and wants a pretty safe job, I mean, job security is going to be there. And then, of course, it has a nice pension on top of it. So, but if you know of anybody.
Yeah. And along with that public service announcement too, that we're kind of been doing here. You have any ideas for the newsletter? Doesn't have to just be staff or council. It can be members of the public. You know, I'm open.
And then just
the one thing I would say, if it's not already going to be in there, I would definitely mention Summerfest and listed activities.
I mean, I'll probably duplicate what I did last time. I put a lot of the Summerfest stuff on there.
I think we could maybe go as far as putting times as well, so people
know,
you know, because I think the whole thing starts at 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the car show starts. Registration's at like 10 before that.
So I'll kind of break it down a little
bit. Break it down that way, because if people want to, like, you know, run and go do an activity and they want to be back for mini rods, it gets starts at 1, or, you know, or like 11 to 1 or whatever it goes to, you know. So just that way people have an idea.
Sounds good.
You can do that.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Make a motion to close September.
Adjourn.
Huh?
You make a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn September 12th council meeting.
Second.
Moving seconded to adjourn the September 12th council meeting. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar.
Councilman Paulzine.
Councilman Weber.
Councilman Tracy.
Mayor Lund. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for September 12th, 2023 is adjourned at 2035.